Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Our devotional scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. This great faith chapter. It is designed to help us understand the power of faith in God. When there were people of common origin who use their uncommon faith to do extraordinary things. And what it teaches us is, if they could do it, we can do it also. God is no respecter of persons. The old church used to say, if you've got the faith, God's got the power. How many of y'all believe that? Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. But just a little while, as we look at this seventh verse of the 11th chapter, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I want to stop right there because I need to focus on these 13 words of this 42-word verse. And I want to talk for just a moment or so on the subject, a not seen as yet kind of faith. A not seen as yet kind of faith. Would you help me say that this morning? A not seen as yet kind of faith. I want to talk about this because Noah here is a remarkable character as it relates to this not seen as yet kind of faith. And I think it's important for us in our daily walk with God and in our crises with God and in every situation where we need God to understand these principles that I want to share with you today concerning not seen as yet kind of faith. The word Noah, or the name Noah, means rest. Rest. What an appropriate name for a man who has worked untirelessly for God's work in the building up of the ark for the saving of those who would accept his word, his will, and his way. He did something that was incredible and had not been done heretofore. He was between two worlds, the old world and the new world. This story begins in Genesis chapter 6, about the 8th verse, and it goes on to the 9th chapter and the 29th verse. Got three chapters this story covers, and there's much in there. When you get a chance to read in your devotional time, you do well. Genesis 6, verse 8, all the way to the 9th chapter and the 29th verse of Genesis, you'll hear the story in its more complete form and understand all of the intricacies that Noah himself dealt with and went through concerning his faith and this not seen as yet kind of faith. Well, we know verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things what? All right, and what else? The evidence of things not seen. Let me just make it clear. When you believe God by faith, it is the word of God that you are able to hold on to. And God, through his word, paints a picture in your spiritual mind to see the reality before it's ever manifested. One of the things the saints have got to recognize is that if you're talking about faith matters, you've got to learn how to see it in the spirit before you see it in the flesh. You've got to have the expectation that God's going to give me a preview, or God through his word is showing me a preview of what is going to be, what is going to happen, or how this thing is going to unfold. Right. And because I believe God, I began walking in and walking toward the reality of what God said. Principally because God is not a man that he should lie. And whatever he says, he's got the power to back it up. And there's nothing nor anyone who can stop his perfect will from being done but himself. And so I need you to see this, because these first three characters, Abel and Enoch and Noah, they speak to a very different thing about faith. In verse 4, Abel speaks about the witness of God, because when he brought forth his gifts to God, it was perfect sacrifice. It was the best that he had, and God made a witness of this, of his gifts. It's in verse 4, by faith Abel, what did he do? Offered, listen, God didn't ask him for it. He offered it unto God, a more excellent sacrifice. Put these two words together, excellence, that's the best you can do. And it means going beyond what's comfortable. excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. Matter of fact, when you begin to look at it, he says, by which he obtained witness. Witness that he was what? Righteous. Who's testifying now? Who's testifying? Can I ask you, can you find a better witness? So say witness in verse 4. Witness. Say witness. All right, God is the witness here. But I want you to go to verse 5 here now, because you got a witness in verse 4, but you have the walk of faith in verse 5. Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. He walked with God. He walked with God daily, 300 years. He walked with God. But here in verse 7, Noah works for God. So you got a witness, you got the walk, and you got the work of faith. And this is so important. I want you to listen. Here the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. It had never happened before. What was the writer of the Hebrews talking about? He was talking about rain. He was talking about a flood. For up to this point, in the second chapter of Genesis, it tells you that God sent a mist up from the midst of the earth that watered the whole earth. There had never been rain falling from the sky, not one drop of rain. God himself caused the underground waters to keep the grounds moist and brought forth moisture and dew that kept everything alive. But there had not yet been rain. And so Noah was told by God, if you read this again, three chapters, six, seven, eight, nine, four chapters rather, in Genesis, that the people's sins had become grievous to God, that he was willing to destroy the whole earth in terms of the people in it. And he was going to do it by a flood. But here was the interesting thing about it. The flood that he would send would come from a 40-day and night continual downpour of rain. Now, the big problem with this is people did not know what rain was. They had never experienced rain. They knew what mist was, but they didn't know what raindrops. They never felt raindrops falling on their head. They didn't know what that was. And so now, Noah has the responsibility of preaching to the people, get ready, it's going to rain. All right. Telling them, preaching to them of God's dissatisfaction with them and the fact that God was going to destroy the earth. But there was several problems. First problem was, as he's preaching to them this message, it was a message whereby God used patience and long suffering in the process, so much so that with this singular message that Noah preached, it appeared as if nothing was ever going to happen. He preached 120 years, it's going to rain. Get your life together. Get ready. Now listen, So the Bible goes on and says, now after God warns him of things not seen as yet, speaking about the rain that's going to fall and the flood that's going to rise, look at what the Bible says Noah did. What does the next part say? He, right, just that first part. What did he do? He moved with fear. Now, this word fear in this context does not mean the kind of evil fear and the scary kind of fear, but this is an awesome reverence of God, a divine kind of reverence by which Noah knew who it was who gave him the message and knew who it was that was going to back up his word. And Noah knew that if anything was going to change, God was going to do the changing of it. And so what he wanted to do was, and this is so important, because there are three things in here that I want you to recognize that happens to Noah that should happen to us as relates to us hearing God's word. The first thing is he moved with fear. Why? Because he listened to God. He listened to God. Now, there's so many of us, Sunday after Sunday, God is speaking to us through his word. It's audible and it's readable. We are able to go into the word and read it for ourselves. It is that same word that God gives to us, that God honors, because God himself has revealed this portion of his will to us so that we would know what to do and what God wants us to do. And that's why he gives us this living word. You see, Noah had, if you ever want to really describe the faith of Noah, it was a living faith. It was a living faith. Noah, just for the sake of giving you his history here, Noah lived 950 years. So 120 years out of that ain't no whole lot of time. But Noah lived 120 years preaching the gospel and 950 years total. But I need you to see here that when he heard God, he listened. A whole lot of us, God is speaking to Sunday after Sunday, giving you a revelation on what is going to happen, how you need to be prepared, what you need to do. And you hear in this ear and let it go right out the other ear. You don't pay attention to what God is saying, because he's a loving God, a patient God, a long-suffering God, because he hadn't done it yet, and you know that you still aren't right, and he hadn't taken you out of here yet. Sometimes you wonder if it's real. Is he really gonna do what you say he gonna do, preacher? Because some of you call yourselves Christians and walking and talking and living in sin willfully with no conviction, with no reverence toward God, not realizing he sees everything, he hears everything, and he knows everything. And we act as if it means nothing to us. When you got this kind of faith that Noah had, the first thing is he moved with fear. Somebody say moved with fear. In other words, he began to recognize who said this. If it had been another man saying it, he might have had doubt. But he had the creator of the ends of the earth, telling him, though you have not seen rain, it's going to rain. It's coming. Now, listen to this. So he listens to God. And that's the first beginning of us being able to obey God. You can't obey him if you don't listen to him. The second thing, and I'm halfway through here. The second thing is, he prepared an ark. Now, the Hebrew writer simply gives us a synopsis. The details are in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th chapter of Genesis. But he's just giving us a synopsis of what Noah did. Now, you got to recognize, and I'll just throw this out to you, the ark that Noah built, at the same time he was building, he was preaching. Not only was he building and preaching, but he was living the life before the people each and every day. Do you know what was strange about this? He built an ark, a big ship, big boat, in the middle of a forest. Some call it a desert. Where no water is. Most shipbuilders build on the edge of waters, so when they're through, they can launch it into the water. There wasn't no water near him nowhere. And he built it in this dry place. Let me give you the dimensions of the ship. It was 437 feet long. Let me put it in perspective. That's almost 1.5 times a football field. 145.6 yards. A football and a half long. It was 73 feet wide. 73 feet wide. It was 44 feet high, a little over 4 stories high. It had 3 levels to it. And each one of those levels had a specific purpose for, again, all of the inhabitants who would be brought into the ark to be able to live, to have their food, to have their sustenance and supplies, all of that in that storage area for every living thing that God told him to get, male and female. He didn't get 2 males of the same species. He didn't get 2 females of the same species. He got a male and a female. Why? Because he wanted them in the new world to reproduce. To reproduce. Now, Noah knows his assignment. If there aren't but 8 folk, Noah and his family, and the inference is they helped him build that ark. They helped him to build that ark. Here's what you need to realize. That's why it took 120 years. When you're gonna build a monstrosity that big to be able to handle what God says he wanted on the ark. Now, listen, God never gives us a condemnation or condemns us without first commanding us. It is because they would not listen to the man of God preach the word of God for 120 years that they did not believe it was going to happen. So, remember, He's moved with fear, reverential fear, godly fear, divine fear. It meant that he respected God, and because God said it, that was good enough for him. He listened. But the next thing was he looked. All of the descriptions of everything was made in the blueprints. And that's all found in these earlier chapters, Genesis 6 through 9. He saw the blueprint. He saw how God wanted everything, and he did it precisely and exactly the way God wanted it done. Yes. You think about it now. He's given this command. Everything from the fashioning of the tools necessary to build this, God gave him everything he needed to be able to build this ark. He looked at the plans. Why? Because he wanted it to be perfect as God had written it. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you move by faith, faith always requires an action. He was moved to do something, moved to obey. James said this. He says, faith without works is dead. Now, you want to talk about faith? I'll show you my faith by my works. See, you've got to come to that point where your faith speaks for you. In other words, what comes out of nowhere, we can't see faith. But when faith is finished, we ought to be able to put our hands on it. In other words, it ought to be manifested. It ought to be tangible. It ought to be touchable. It ought to be there where we can say, this was made out of nothing. And now there is something. And so the Bible says this, listen, that he built an ark. He prepared an ark. That meant that he literally took the time to fashion everything that went into the ark. So he listened to God. He looked at the plans of God, and then he continued on, because here's what the third part is. He learned. He learned. He listened, looked, and learned that God's plan was greater than his. God's plan was greater than the world's plan. God's plan, God's will, was that those who would not obey him, those who would not hear him, those who would not walk and talk and live in his word and through his word, those who had become unruly and ungodly, God had gotten enough of that, and he was ready to cut off every last one of them.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Charles, 100.1.